Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or JeffWeilerColumbusAutoMall.com.
Don't sweat the technique.
Coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Way back, gone.
Sit on that.
And gone.
she didn't know it was gone. She didn't know it was gone off the bat. It was a pulverized
mistake home run.
He was a cheapie.
Yep.
It was gone in 29 of 30 ballparks.
Baltimore?
The one that it wasn't out shocks me, actually.
I saw you say it on Twitter, so I'm not going to say it.
Coors.
What?
Oh, I thought. Oh, there was the other home run that was
out. The Walker one you're
thinking
of. Yeah, okay. So Cam hit one that was out of 29 to 30 ballparks.
Yeah.
The one it would not have been out of it was Coors, because it's very deep in left center. Now, Coors' home run factors really aren't crazy. It's the run factors, because it's so big that there's more room to get base hits and stuff like that, more room to cover.
I was thinking, like, what's the – we had talked about this earlier, and I think Baltimore was the one that we really – they tried to even alter where the wall is, but you just keep, it's hard to hit a home run.
Now, they've moved it up in recent years, like maybe the last 5 years or so, but that is usually one of the more difficult left fields to get it out of. But, no, the one that was Christian Walker – Walker's home run was at a 29 to 30 ballparks. The one that – it was not out of would be Truist, which is the one in Atlanta. They have a deep left field. So it depends on where you're hitting it. And apparently, I didn't know this, apparently StatCast tracks for the wind, the weather conditions, and the altitude.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know how they do it, but again, I'm not writing
my
code for
my
it.
My thoughts initially would be like Arizona and Coors Field would be like launching pads. It just seems like, and I do think Arizona has a pretty high rate of home runs. I think the ball travels really well there.
Yeah,
but the Coors thing is crazy to me with the altitude.
It's just such a big park. And again, their home run factors are nuts. It's just such a big park that there's a lot of ground to cover and a lot of cheap base hits and stuff like that.
You think the humidifiers work?
I think a little bit, yeah.
Yeah, probably do, yeah, because otherwise I would think the home run numbers do go up.
Texture Bo, can you guys find her walk-off call for Monday night?
Did we use it?
We'll get to that in a minute, Texture Bo. We'll do that maybe at the end of the segment. A few texts on this. I want to hear. We already read that. Here's your call. Never forget when she said, "Hey Siri, it's not your night," and he proceeds to hit a home run right after that. I forgot about
that. That's right.
I forgot all about that. "Hey Siri, it's not your night," and then Siri drops a bomb. My phone just heard that. My phone thinks I'm talking to it after I said, "Hey Siri." Have y'all seen the AL Rookie of the Year odds? Last I saw Joe talking about it. I think Cam's still plus 5,000 to win the American League Rookie of the Year. It's going to be very difficult for him to win. Jacob Wilson's way ahead of the race.
The travesty was someone put out their top five. I want to say it was either MLB.com or somebody.
Yeah, MLB.
And they moved up the Roman Anthony to number five. How do you do that when he's got a week and a half in the big leagues?
Well, you know how they do it.
Big market.
East Coast bias. Yeah. He has a negative war. that's why I hate power rankings and stuff like that, though. Like it's irrelevant. What are they doing? They're trying to get big markets to read their story. Corey double hitting a home run at the ball, or Doobie rather. Doobie hitting a home run at the ballpark in high school minors and majors is pretty cool.
He did
the trifecta.
That's definitely very cool.
It is a cool story.
And again, to your credit, to about how good Todd Callis is, to not only have a great call and work that into the call. Credit, tip of the cap to Todd.
And I feel like he kind of forgot about the minor league one there. He omitted
that. Oh, he did admit it, yeah, but at least he was on it. He just forgot the minor league one.
He almost landed on Bad Take Boulevard yesterday. Almost landed on Bad Take Boulevard, Todd Callis did.
Four.
There was I can't remember who hit it, but it was a base hit into left field. Cam scored. Dubon was at second. He came in to score. And Callis thought off the bat it was like a no-doubt 2-RBI single. And he's like, oh, yeah, two runs are in. And then all of a sudden there's a play at the plate, and Doobie goes in standing up, and he was called safe, and Kotze actually challenged it, challenged the play. It was that close.
They said
that he was safe,
were
which
you guys
he was.
Upset but. Dubon didn't slide there?
So what I'm upset about is where's the on-deck hitter?
Yeah, telling
for
him
sure
to get down.
That's
where
your,
is
he? Yeah.
Like, that was probably, like, to me, I don't, who would have been the hitter there? I forget who it was. I don't know who it was. It might have been.
Was it not Jake?
I wonder if it was Altuve. Was it Isak that hit the 2-RBI single? Or was it Pena, maybe? But somebody
Paredes.
So Paredes hit it?
Yep.
So Paredes, it was Altuve.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Kind of makes sense.
Altuve, kind of aloof in the on-deck circle, doesn't get up there and tell the runner what to do.
He needs more time, Jeremy. I mean, he was working. He might have not even been in the on-deck circle.
He might still be out in left field.
Yeah. It's our Jose Altuve. He needs more time. Yeah, that's a fine in kangaroo court. Mm-hmm. So they were talking about fines in kangaroo courts the other day when Altuve hit the home run and didn't thank the bullpen.
Yeah. And then someone on one of our social medias came in and was like, he was taking a bow. No, he wasn't. They made sure that he was aware that he forgot, so he went up on the top step to wave to the bullpen.
Altuve, man. Not telling the runner where to go. That's what a veteran does, though. That's what the icon of the franchise does. He doesn't need to do it. That's beneath him.
When he's not getting picked off and making bad base running blunders.
Texture, her face kind of matches her voice, too, annoying looking. Come on, that's mean. We're not gonna read mean text about her looks and how she sound. We're not making fun of her play-by-play. We're just giving the opposing. We're journalists here. We're unbiased. We have to see what it sounds like on Houston TV and how it sounds on Sacramento TV.
We're journalists now?
Journalists.
Oh, okay. It's an interesting development.
Journalist on this show. Hard gotcha journalism.
Big J journalism.
We ask the hard-pressing questions. Brandon T, Astros have moved from the 8th best odds at 2,200 to the 7th best odds at 1,500. That seems low. 7th best odds to win it all? I would have them higher. I mean, they're the 3rd best team in the American League, and they're a half game back of the Yankees.
And last power ratings, they're in the top 5, and there's 3 National League teams in the middle. The Tigers are 1, the Astros are 5. So the 2nd best team in the American League right now in terms of the power rankings.
I would say Tigers, Yankees, Dodgers, Phillies.
Dodgers pitching is kind of sus.
Yeah. I mean, they might get Ohtani at some point.
He pitched the other day.
Oh, that's okay. There you go.
2 innings. Yeah. No, one inning. Sorry, 28
3
pitches.
Outs. And then they have the Ohtani rule where you can remove the starter, and all of a sudden he's the DH.
Don't like that, but whatever.
League.
Yeah, I would probably put him at 5th, I think.
Text machine, bad looking, just annoying looking. That's all I'm saying. We're not going to read any text on the appearance of Jenny Caviera. Not going to read text about her looks. It's Bush League. It's Bush League by the Hive. Hindsight, if Dubon tried to slide, he probably would have been tagged out. I don't know. I think Dubon also went in there because he didn't see Altuve. He's like, oh, it's an easy. I don't think he was aware. I think he thought he had an easy run. And he went coasting in. Mm-hmm. If Altuve's like, come on, get down. I think Dubon has a burst in him.
We didn't talk about it earlier, but that was one play that irked me. The other one was Jake Meyers getting himself thrown out, trying to steal second in the first inning when they had a runner on third.
Disagree, dude. It led to Cam Smith hitting a home run.
Yeah, which, I mean, if he hadn't tried to steal there, maybe Cam Smith hits a 3-run bomb.
2-strike count? Nah. Actually, that should have been a strike, too, by the way.
Yeah.
It was in the zone. The umpire could have easily called that a strike, and you don't have a second inning home run from Cam Smith. It was in the zone. It was a bad call.
Yeah.
But it was a terrible attempt at a steal.
I like.
I just don't get stealing when you have a runner on third. Like, what are you trying to move up the second for?
It's the 1-2 count. They're expecting breaking ball there. Cam Smith's odds of getting a hit on a 1-2 count aren't great. You feel like you have a really good chance of stealing second, and now you have two runners in scoring position. I didn't mind the timing. It was a really poor attempt, though.
I do like the fact that the professional approach that Blummer and Todd used to a strike that is – or a ball that's called a strike is he didn't have to call that a strike.
Yeah. Walker has double-digit home runs now, by the
way.
He
does,
He's on pace for over 20. Oh, Walker's the worst thing in the world. He's on pace for an over 20 home run season.
That's why I was like, I hope his wife's not ready to have the baby just yet, because if he's got a chance to get on a hot streak, let's see it.
Jose Abreu had like 90 RBI that first season, so Let's have fun with stats.
How many home runs did he hit? No, I mean, RBIs, though, you're dependent of other players being on base. Home runs is independent, mostly.
He had 15 to 18, I think.
I'm looking. He had 18.
Yeah.
He had 18. Walker's on pace to shatter that by a few.
By two.
He's on pace to shatter Jose Abreu's 18 home run pace. I wonder how many RBIs he's on pace for. Because, I mean, he bats in the middle of the order. You think he probably has a lot of opportunity, Christian Walker.
Yeah, no, look, I think when you're looking at it from the standpoint of home runs and RBIs, I feel like the best is still ahead for him, but he's had a couple of walk-offs. One of them was a home run, and the other one was a single? The
Walker?
Two walk-offs? Yeah, he had two walk-offs already this year. But I would think the rest of the year, with the table being set for him, that his RBI should be pretty decent.
Doesn't he have multiple walk-off homers? Doesn't he have two?
I was going to say, he has two walk-offs. I didn't know if both of them were home runs.
Walker's got 35 ribbies, so it's probably below a 90 RBI pace. He's going to get hot, though. Christian Walker is going to get hot. Did you see Isak Paredes trying to leg out a double in the ninth inning?
Scared me. It scared me more than charging in on the infield for the barehanded play. I was like, oh, my God, no.
They're up 10 runs in the ninth inning, and he's stretching a single into a double. Remember we talked about this the other day? Remember we had texters saying, oh, no, you should always hustle in baseball. Be honest with yourself, texters. If that was you and you were watching the game yesterday and Isak Paredes was trying to stretch a single into a double whenever the Astros are up by 10, be honest with yourself. Did you enjoy that? Did you say, you know what, always hustle? Or did you say the Killer Bees were right? I do not want Isak Paredes hustling on that play.
God, it was cringeworthy. And again, he's in the game, too. I mean, when they started, like, giving guys rest, sitting guys down, putting guys from the bench in, I'm like, sit him down. Just get him out of the game.
Brian said Walker's on a 81 RBI pace. He's going to get hot. Jordan's going to get back, and he's going to be good. Texter, easy on Jenny Kavnar. She's good friends with Julia Morales. Also had a regular show on Sirius. She's actually a Rockies fan. That's cool.
She went to Colorado State, cool. So I'm some not afraid people, to say it. Her voice is annoying.
Some people don't love her play-by-play. I didn't say I was one of those people.
I said her voice is annoying.
We just feel like we have to be fair and balanced as hard-hitting journalists like we are on the Killer Bees. Here was the Jenny Kavnar home run the other day from Nick Kurtz. Actually thought that call was good from Jenny. That was one of her better calls. I had no problem with that call.
I'm just thinking, like, does Oakland still get the A's games?
I don't know.
Like, Oakland and Sacramento, two different markets in California, and you got to listen to that every night.
So I thought about that. Like, what if she was the play-by-play voice of the Houston Astros?
Yes.
What would be your play?
Turn down the volume and listen to the radio.
You listen to Robert?
Yeah. Time it up and listen to the radio.
That would be one option. The other option's mute.
Yeah, but – and look, I think Sparky brings a lot. I think Robert Ford's very good. So I would say that's a better alternative to get, you know, some of the insight stats, stories, things like that, because they're there.
Is that hard to do nowadays? I don't know.
To do what? Sync it up?
Sync up the radio with the TV?
I mean, the 7 seconds, especially if you can just delay the your TV feed, like pause it.
But isn't the radio ahead of the TV?
Radio's ahead of TV. Radio's – there's no delay for games.
There is no game.
There's no delay for Astros games.
On the radio.
On the radio. But there would be a delay on TV, so you'd have to find a way to delay the only, radio feed.
The only way you could do it, I think, is if you have the app.
Yeah.
You can pause the app.
Right.
The MLB app. You can pause the game on the MLB app. So you could – that sounds like a lot of work. I think I would just mute it.
I think I would just mute it, yeah.
Because you'd be listening – and then you'd be listening to sound off of your phone or your computer.
Yeah, it'd be weird.
Yeah.
I'm not sure I would enjoy that a whole lot. There the Killer Bees go with that soft talk on not hustling. Okay, man. You liked Isak Paredes stretching a single into a double with a 10-run lead and a sore hammy? I don't think you're being honest with yourself. 713-780-ESPN. I'd rather listen to a radio show with blank and blank over her. Not Joel Blank. It was different people. Yeah. It sounds like Bart Simpson does play-by-play. Do you think she sounds like Bart?
Kind of.
I hear it a little bit, yeah.
Kind of, yeah.
Yeah. Definitely.
Would y'all have Jenny Kavnar on Fridays at 4 p.m. if she was announcer of the Astros instead of TK? I doubt it. I think we would probably make fun of her if she was the Astros play-by-play guy. Girl.
I think you're probably right.
I don't think we'd be able to build up the relationship to where she'd want to be on.
I don't think so. I don't think she'd hate us. Janis Joplin making a walk-off call, says Texter Bo.
It's not bad.
Radio guys are incredibly better than the TV guys. Aw, shucks. Oh, shucks you. All right, 713-780-ESPN. Today, on a Durant of our lives, what's it going to take for Kevin Durant? 713-780-3776. First, a moment on HR&P. Might need them. Human Resources and Payroll. Cougar on by my colleague, O'Cougs. Used to protect a Heisman Trophy winner. Now he wants to protect your business. Chris Fisher's over there, and Aggie. Good friends with Chris Fisher. Love me some Chris Fisher. All the people, though, at HR&P, you're gonna be impressed with. You're going to love them as well. Business owners, let them take care of you. Let HR&P help you out. They can help you out in HR compliance, benefits administration, payroll, onboarding. HR&P can help you in any of those areas or all of those areas. No boxes with HR&P. Doesn't matter how small, how big. HR&P completely customizes a plan for what you and your business need. You have a problem, you have an issue, you want to take a little bit off your plate. HR&P is going to find a way to do it. They do it in a way that you unique. Technology meets service. They have the best tech. You'll love it, but you're going to love their service even more. Guaranteed fulfillment. You'll never talk to a stranger. You'll be talking to someone who knows you. They know your business needs. Give them a call at 281-880-6525. Let HR&P customize a plan for you. 281-880-6525 or visit them online at hrp.net. That's hrp.net.
Houston's independent voice for sports talk. You're locked in with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
The internet trolls that I invited to the YouTube have arrived. Have arrived. All the people that I've annoyed are showing up to listen to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5. I attract new listeners. That's what I do. I should have gave them the Twitch chat, though. That was a failure on my part. I should have sicked them to 75 Court Jester, Dab, AV, Chewy, Battery Chuck, Bannon.
You're saying they would run them out?
I think it would be highly entertaining. I'm going to send him the link, see if he'll do it. Go here, Twitch chat. Let's see if he goes to the Twitch. He'd be a brave soul if he did.
Smart move, by the way, to turn haters into YouTube stream or YouTube to boost our numbers.
It's going to help the monetization. Yeah, I don't know how to say that word.
Monetization. Something like that.
Yeah. Oh, King of Twitch is in the YouTube, fighting for my honor. Wow, this is next level. Haters, they you know what they always say. People who love you listen for 15 minutes. The haters will listen for an hour. This dude's coming from who knows where to listen to the Killer Bees on ESPN Houston. This dude's... It's more than one. More than one.
Seems like he called his friends.
What do you mean? I think...
There's like four or five guys, right?
There's two. Oh, there's three. Boris DeFloris. Sports fan. And Bobby... Did I see that? Yeah, Bob Germain. I wonder if they're all the same person, though, and he just has, like, three different browsers open.
Yeah, it's definitely a possibility.
I think it's possible. All right, today in a Durant of our lives, there's some new offers that are out there, at least, like, rumored offers. I will say that all of these feel like they're slanted towards the Suns. And the person that's reporting these is a longtime radio host in Arizona who apparently is, like, plugged in. I've never heard of him, though. His name is John Gambardo. Have you ever heard of him?
I've not.
Okay. So you haven't crossed paths with him. But anyway, so, like, all of these trade are there's offers that he's thrown out there, and they're from three different teams. The three teams that he throws, again, they're all, like, I feel like, favored for the Suns. I feel like the Suns would have accepted all three of these offers if they were really offered to them. They were the Rockets, the Raptors, and the Wolves. Who do you want to hear first?
The Rockets.
All right. The Rockets, according to Gambo here, and again, I think it's biased towards the Suns, the Rockets have offered Jalen Green and Jabari Smith for Kevin Durant, but the Suns do not want Jalen Green.
I've heard that from other sources as well. I'm not interested in that deal. As that is constructed, I think that other things would have to be involved in it one way or the other. But, yeah, that's a hard no.
Yeah, also you have to make the – I don't think the salaries were there, so you'd have to throw in some other pieces there. But favored towards the Suns. The Raptors would offer the number 9 pick, the Jakob Poeltl, R.J. Barrett, Emmanuel Quickley, and the number 9 pick to secure Durant. So Poeltl, Barrett, or Quickley, the number 9 pick for Kevin Durant. Raptors offer.
I do think that that's light from a Toronto perspective. I don't think that's a good enough deal for the Suns, but I think Toronto's out of it, and I'll give you what I found in terms of the when we try to get up-to-date updates on the entire scenario.
Got one more.
Yeah, I know.
Got one more. The Timberwolves, they would offer Rudy Gobert, Dante Divincenzo, Rob Dillingham in the 17th pick.
See, I think that's a really good deal for Phoenix, again, if Matt Ishbia wants to stay relevant. If he wants to try and stay relevant and stay as far away from a rebuild as possible, if you had DiVincenzo and you and Dillingham, either one of those guys are young guys that can play to be one of your role players and be one of your rotational guys. Rudy provides the center that they gave away a year ago when they made the trade to try and clear up space, to try and bring someone else, some other names in to try and help Phoenix. I think in terms of trying to stay relevant, that's a team that can compete in the West.
Yeah. Yeah. And you also get like the future piece too, like Dillingham, eighth pick, last year's draft, you know, reach up at the third pick last year's draft, but you stay kind of, I wouldn't call him a contender, but you stay as a playoff hopeful. Yeah. And then you still add a future piece, and the draft pick's not great, but it is a first rounder, the 17th pick. So what are you hearing?
So there's this guy that claims to be an ex-NBA. His name's Chris Davis. He, former NBA associate, many connections, he reports breaking news. But within the last couple of hours, and one of them is interesting because it's something you brought up. Kevin Durant has informed the Raptors he has no intentions of signing an extension in any circumstances if the Raptors trade for him. So basically trying to scare them off. Here's the one that you'll find interesting. The Suns are actively utilizing media channels to increase the perceived market value for Durant as trade discussions intensify. As you brought up, trying to like get teams to think that there's a lot of interest and the price has to go up and that there's competition. And that's what teams do. Spurs remain in a holding pattern, showing no indication they'll increase their current offer. The Rockets have yet to include Jabari or Jaylen in any formal proposals. So that would kind of debunk all the rumors that are out there on the Rockets for the most part. The Minnesota Timberwolves are prepared to withdraw their offer if the Suns do not reach a resolution in the near term, but he doesn't have a date. Brooklyn is continuing to work with Phoenix to help facilitate any Durant trade, which might mean that Brooklyn's probably interested in a guy like Jalen Green.
So probably a three-way of some sort.
Yeah, they said some of the other sources that I've seen covering this whole scenario have said that a third party would have to be involved, kind of to what you were saying, that the Suns have no interest in Jalen, that the Suns would only take Jalen as part of a three-way deal where they could move him along somewhere else and get some other resources for the now.
Why didn't this guy have more followers?
I don't know.
Why does he only have 8,000 followers since December of 24?
I don't know.
So what's your sense right now?
I think my sense is, and I like it if it's true, but my sense is that particularly as it relates to the Spurs, but most importantly the Rockets, I think the Rockets are just sitting and waiting. And the Rockets have basically said, you know, this is who we're willing to part with. These are some of the pieces we're willing to discuss. If you guys are insisting on these guys, then the conversation's over. And we're not ending discussions with you. We're just trying to be upfront and then just wait it out and see. Because that kind of eliminates a lot of the smoke screens that maybe the Suns are putting out there. And at a certain point with the draft coming up, sooner rather than later, they're going to want to get this whole scenario resolved to figure out what they're going to do starting with the draft. So you got to believe that you're not in a hurry right now, but you're still in a – I think you're in a position of strength.
Yeah, I would agree. I don't think that Phoenix has been overwhelmed with any offers. I'm starting to get a little bit closer to Phoenix saying, screw you, Kevin Durant. We're just going to trade you for a lesser package to a team that you don't want to go to and go play there for a year or at least like force his hand into something. I'm starting to get a little bit more of that becoming a possibility. I also think that I've become more, I wouldn't say open, but I think it's more possible that there is a three-way trade involving the Rockets. Like, it seems like a very real possibility that Kevin Durant could be traded tomorrow to the Rockets, and the Rockets have to send Jalen Green elsewhere to get pieces that they would then include to Phoenix.
Yeah,
I could see a three-way trade happening.
I think that I would go so far as to say if the Rockets are involved in a trade with the Suns, if Jalen Green is involved in any way, shape, or form, it will be a three-way deal. And I think that it would be... Yeah, the Suns are going to move on and get – the Suns are going to try and reap the benefit of Jalen Green as their asset too so that they get other assets from another team as well as the Rockets' assets, trying to do both stay relevant and get picks. So what I've heard from this guy and a couple other people are the two the two best or three best offers. He says the Raptors, Timberwolves, and Heat have presented trade offers to Kevin Durant and for the Suns. I have heard that the Suns are most enamored with offers from the Timberwolves and the Heat.
I wonder if the Timberwolves offer would go down, though, if he doesn't agree to go there.
They would have to, right? It's a rental.
Suns definitely don't want Shepherd, says Israel. KD's injury history combined with his old NBA age and body type is a disaster waiting to happen. Unless they're able to keep their entire young core in the trade, then no thanks. Random text, but I'll read that in a second. Durant, name bigger than the game in 2025. I don't disagree. I do think Durant has more cachet and name value than he does actual production, but his production's not bad. Like, let's separate the two. Kevin Durant was still a very good basketball player last year.
Oh, no doubt about it. I think that's what the misconception is. Look, I totally am on board with, and that's what I'm most concerned with, the fact that you're getting 2 or 3 years of Kevin Durant at starting at 35. That scares me because of the fact that he's only going to be here for 3 years max. And yes, he's still very good. And you're fooling yourself if you think he's the old Kevin Durant, but he's still very effective. And he gives this team exactly what they need. A closer that can still get buckets, can capitalize on mismatches, has unlimited range, and he's long enough to at least play defense for you. And he knows Udoka very, very well. So he would fit in. But it depends on the price, and it's always been that way. And I've always said that the price matters. And if it gets to the point where you have to give up, you know, draft picks, sweeteners because of the contracts, and a young piece or two out of your rotation, I'm fine with that because you have a lot of the same kind of players. But you, if it means that you're going to give up 5 or 6 pieces overall and at least, you know, three players off your current roster, I'd be concerned with that with Kevin Durant.
Yeah.
I mean, would it change your mind, Joel, to know that he'll be 37 when the season starts? You said 35. Just curious how that changed
he'll
your mind.
He'll be 37?
He's 36 now. He turns 37 in September. So he'll be 37 when the season starts.
I don't like that. I still believe that he's still good enough and he keeps himself in good enough shape and he loves the game that he's playing even now that I believe that he can give you 3 more years max. But do I think that's worthy of 5 or 6 pieces? No, I don't.
I think he can give you 3 more years.
3 years of high level, like what we know is Kevin Durant?
No, I mean, he's going to have deterioration. He's getting older and older. But I still think he can give you at least 20 a game the next 3 years. Yeah.
See, but I think the other thing that you have to take into consideration, too, is if he has help. Like, if he doesn't have to be the only horse that leads the entire team. That if he has help around him, Jeremy mentioned Alpi, but because the fact that the rest of the team is deep, because Phoenix, rest of their roster wasn't deep a year ago, and then most of their superstars were spending a lot of time out. They weren't playing, Beal especially. But if he didn't have to carry the whole load himself, and he had young guys that can, you know, do what they did in the regular season, run up and down the floor, be athletic, play defense, get you wins on nights when maybe he doesn't have to do a whole lot, I think you can prolong him a little bit.
Texture, it kills me that Kevin Durant, James Harden just don't retire. There's no need to prove yourself. Yeah, they're making like $60 million.
Yeah, why would they retire?
I'm just going to throw away $60 million.
And Durant's making, what, 51 this year?
Like, why would he throw that away? For the final two that he has left of these three.
It's insane.
60 a year. And he loves the game of basketball. Both of them do. Yeah. They love a lot of things. But unlike other guys that just play for the check, these guys actually love the game.
My newest YouTube fans want me to say Dante DiVincenzo's name again. DiVincenzo.
Did you struggle on it the first time?
I definitely botched it. Am I saying it right now? DiVincenzo.
DiVincenzo.
DiVincenzo. Dante DiGiorno.
Slightly racist.
Not delivery, it's DiGiorno.
A little racist.
I'm looking at his nickname, the Big Ragu.
A little racist.
Devo, the Michael Jordan of Delaware. They call this guy.
That is an insult.
He's from Wilmington, Delaware. They call him the Michael Jordan of Delaware, this fella. But that one's for you, my biggest fans on the YouTube. 713-780-ESPN. If KD ends up here, the energy level in H-Town is up. Toyota Center will be rocking. The guys will be there. I do agree with that.
Oh, without a question. You want to talk about from a national TV perspective, from an everyday big, you know, more eyes across the country watching this team and everything it does? Add Kevin Durant. No doubt about it. Do I think that it instantly makes them a contender for a championship? No. Do I think it makes them better? Yes.
Are they more of a contender?
they're more of a contender with Kevin Durant, for sure, because the biggest shortcomings of a year ago were the way they finish games, the way they close out games, and having a guy they could go to in key situations, and he definitely provides that.
Yeah, he's not a bad player, this Kevin Durant. 713-780-ESPN. If that's the case, you might as well try and get LeBron and KD. Oh, no, you might as well get LeBron. KD haven't played a full season in forever. You're not going to get LeBron, though. LeBron's going to stay in L.A.
He also didn't want to come here.
He wants to play with his baby boy. Mm-hmm. You think he's going to wait for his other baby boy?
Oh, I don't think so. I mean, maybe. I mean, yeah, I don't think so, but I think that it's possible. I just don't think Bryce is NBA ready after one and done.
Well, neither was Bronny.
Right.
Like, that's not the point. The point is they want to play together.
Yeah, but I think that once he's done what he's done and he became the first to ever do it, I think that if he realizes the best thing for Bryce is to get 2 or 3 years of college and like fill out and you know play at a high level and get better along the way for his chance at an NBA career, I think he totally gets that.
But yeah, why would he do the what's best for Bronny then?
Yeah,
like no. If he was willing, if you only wanted to do what's best for the kid, like he wouldn't have done that with Bronny.
See, I think the difference between the two is Bronny is who he is and always going to be. And so at a certain point, it's the shine's going to wear off of Bronny. If he played 4 years, he was lucky to be a second-round pick. We know why he was a second-round pick. But if he played 4 years at SC or 3 years at SC, he might have been an undrafted free agent. Because at that point, you figure out who he is. I think with Bryce, because of his size, there's a chance that he gets better to where his stock goes up if he plays a couple years of college.
That's fair.
I think they want to all play together, and they don't care about money.
Well, they don't have to care about money with what their old man's made.
No, I think that he's going to try to wait it out. I think he wants to play with him.
How long's he got to wait for that?
Because he'll be a senior next year.
No, I think he's going to Arizona
next year.
The fall.
So 1 year.
So.
Oh, only 1 more year. Yeah,
if he only stays and plays 1 year,
so he'll be a Laker next year.
Yeah, probably be undrafted.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think he'll be drafted.
To make him look good, the Lakers are definitely going to tip the cap and take him in the second round.
Yeah.
Right, because they don't care about their second round picks, but he should be an undrafted free agent, just like Bronny.
He's better than Bronny, from what I've read.
I believe that, yes.
So like, he's actually like a guy that, I don't know if he's an NBA level player, but he's better than Bronny.
No, but that's my point. Like, he has the height, the God-given that Bronny didn't really get as much. He has size. He has some athleticism. If he played a couple years in college, I'm not writing off the possibility he could if his last name wasn't James, could he still be an NBA draft pick in a couple of years? Yes, I believe that's possible.
Yeah. 713-780-ESPN's text. It cracked me up. LeBron is staying so he can play with his grandson. He's going to be 80 years old playing in the NBA. Do we have the Windhorse on what the Rockets should do? Here's the Windy. Is this a man or a woman? Talking about what the Rockets should do this offseason.
If you're Houston, who's shown some interest – but hasn't been willing to, you know, put together an offer that seems to compel Phoenix, I'm not increasing my offer at all. I'm sitting there going, because this is what happened with Toronto. Toronto, when they got Kawhi, they were just the last team standing.
Yeah.
And if I'm Houston or Miami, I'm like, okay, you know, I'll sit here and wait with this when I'm holding it.
Is that an NBA analyst or the play-by-play broadcaster for the Sacramento A's?
I thought it was Ramona Shelburne.
Why do you always call him Ramona Shelburne?
Because Ramona Shelburne has a voice like that.
Because they're both fat?
No, it's not because of that. And I saw it whenever he does the humph with the side eye. I know what he's thinking.
Did you say he sounds like Ramona Shelburne or looks like Ramona Shelburne?
I think he sounds like Ramona Shelburne.
Yeah, but I mean, this is kind of what everybody thinks the Rockets should do. Draw the line in the sand. This is our best and final. Either trade us Kevin Durant or don't trade us Kevin Durant, and we'll just go... We'll go along with our way.
I think the biggest thing here is the offseason's not – Rockets fans have to realize the offseason's not over, and this isn't the end-all, be-all for what the Rockets need to do to get better between now and the start of the training camp. The fact is that this goes by the wayside. You might be dodging a massive bullet, but only because of the fact that you probably have to give up too much. That doesn't preclude you from going out and finding another deal that makes your team better. If it's Cam Johnson, you're better. If it's just adding shooters, you're better. If there's a way to bring in somebody else that becomes available, probably better for the not only the short term, but there's a chance it'd be better for the long haul.
Oh, sure.
Based on the age of the guys you bring in.
ESPN did a thing today where, like, okay, if the Bucks do want to trade Giannis and, like, just shake up the NBA, They listed five trades for him. One was the Rockets. They would trade the Rockets, Alpe, Cam, Reed Shepard, Jock Landale, the number 10 pick this year, the Suns pick in 27, and then their own first-round pick in 28.
I'm doing it.
Really?
That's not that much.
I mean, it's seven pieces.
It's seven pieces for when you look at the going rate of what Mikal Bridges and what Desmond Bane went for, five ones and a pick swap and four ones and a pick swap. Giving up that kind of capital, but getting back a guy like that for probably 5 years that you have that makes you a better team, and you're still going to get guys that want to come play with you for the veterans minimum, I'm doing that.
Yeah, because, I mean, it's seven pieces, but only two of them aren't pieces for you.
Jalen or Alpe? Alpe?
Alpe. Like, you're not playing Cam Whitmore. Jock Landale is just a salary piece at this point. Mm-hmm. Reed Shepard, jury out on that. 10th pick, like, we're both not crazy about the 10th pick. Your own first-round pick in 28 should be, like, a playoff pick anyways. So the valuable pieces would be Alpe, the Suns pick in 27, and then whatever you think of Reed Shepard. That's not that expensive.
No, I don't think it's – I think to maintain just about, aside from Alpe, everything in your core – of your key rotational players and still getting yourself the possibility of adding between the time you make the trade and start the regular season because guys are going to want to come play with him, that's an easy yes for me.
Yeah, I agree. Key from L.A., the new ownership is not going to go for that LeBron running the team bad word. We'll see. KD is much better than LeBron at this point in their careers. Still a small list of players I'd rather have for 1 year than KD. He and Ime's relationship also lessens concerns of his attitude and happiness. Who do you think is better for 1 year, LeBron or KD?
Just overall productivity-wise, I would probably lean Kevin Durant.
I just don't like LeBron, so I kind of have a bias there. So I don't know. Text or random text, but I was such a huge fan of the Blitz. They were great. I refused to give you guys a fair shake, but I must say I was wrong. Really enjoy the show.
Thank you.
You guys are doing great. We don't want any of the brown nose and stuff, dude. Wipe off your nose. We don't need to read text. Like, we're not going to read compliments and so, you know, all the stuff you love about us on the air. All right, 713-780-ESPN. The Texans made a splash today. We'll talk Texans next. 713-780-ESPN. Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. If you're in the market for a new or pre-owned vehicle, you already know where to go. It's at Monument Chevrolet. They are the best in the business. They're the dealer you can trust. Transparent, no hassle, and you're going to get your car shopping done fast. Monument Chevrolet has been serving the Houston area for five decades, 50 years, and they've helped generations of families get into new vehicles, get into pre-owned vehicles. And you know what happens is these families just keep coming back because they trust the people at Monument Chevrolet. Why do they trust them? Well, it's a family feel there. Friendly atmosphere. They have a fantastic culture. They hire good people, which just feeds right back into that culture. And it's going to be the best car buying experience you've ever had. You're not going to worry about some sales guy trying to pull one over on you, the guys in the suits. Is this too much for the warranty? You don't have to worry about that stuff at Monument Chevrolet because you're going to get a fast deal, a fair deal, an easy deal, without wasting your time in these aggravating, stressful negotiations. No tricks, no time wasting, no hidden charges. If you've been waiting to upgrade your ride, new or pre-owned, now is the time to do it. You can visit them online, check out their inventory there, monumentchevrolet.com, monumentchevrolet.com, or better yet, visit them in person at 225 and Beltway 8 at Monument Chevrolet. Chevrolet, together, let's drive.
ESPN 97.5.
The Killer Bees do a great job most of the time.
Crushed it, literal mic drop.
But sometimes they need a little help to make sure they're talking about the right topics that, well, make the most money.
This is how you're going to make the money.
That's why it's time for the... Wait, Joe, are you forcing them?
Just tell them to talk football.
Okay. Jeez, you're the boss. Here's the Killer Bees corporate mandated football segment.
That's not very nice, Joe. Texans.
Just you, Joe.
I have a guessing game for you guys here in a second. ESPN did their all NFL quarter century team, kind of like we saw with the baseball the other day, which maybe just had an idea. Let me write it down my notes here real quick. All right. But first, did you see the Texans news today? They went ahead and they signed the corner that, you know, has been in a little bit of trouble in his past since this last year with the XFL Roughnecks. What'd you think of that?
Surprised. Who the f- is that guy?
Easy.
Surprised because of the fact that when you look at I know this isn't a Robert McNair run team anymore, and I know that this is something Robert McNair would never do, and I'm all about like giving guys second chances and also like evaluating the fact that you could be getting a really good return on investment from a financial perspective with what you pay him. This is just as recent as 2024, some of this stuff. And it does. So my concern is there a chance that he's going to do this again? And I understand that you can just cut him at that point, but because you have built not only culture from a culture standpoint, but more importantly, from an overall talent standpoint on both sides of the football, I don't know that I want to run the risk in my locker room, but we'll see what happens.
See, this is why I think culture is important and why I'm okay with signing Damon Arnett to a one-year deal. Because you've built such a strong culture, you can take flyers on guys. You can take chances on guys, and perhaps that culture is going to lead to them having change. And maybe Arnett's already had change. I mean, he swears that he has. He says that he's a different player. He's matured. He's grown. He's more of a professional, all of those things, which, you know, you've got to go prove it in the NFL. But whenever you have that strong base, that strong foundation, that strong culture swarm, you can bring in some guys that have, you know, some controversy in the background, some questionable background, and then hope that the culture can uplift them. Yeah. That the culture, hold on, let me finish. That the culture can like bring the best out of them. And what I like about the actual length of the contract is it's a 1 year deal. If he acts out, if he does anything, see you later, goodbye. Damon Arnett is not a risk to the culture, because the moment that he shows that he could potentially be a risk to the culture, what happens? He gets released. He's no longer a Houston Texan, so he's not a culture risk. He's the type of guy that you bring in because you have a good culture and maybe you get some good years out of him.
I don't like it because of the fact that it could be a distraction. I don't like it because of the fact that, again, some of the things that he has been either accused of and or convicted of, they're very recent. And so the one thing I don't want is something, and I don't know to what level, but I don't want something that becomes a major distraction from a team that has a lot of things going in their favor, both on the field and just where this entire franchise is going. I get it, and I understand it, and I do believe that there's a chance that you could catch a really good deal here, because it seemingly has never been about his ability to play football. It's been about all the things off the field.
Yeah, see, I would push back at the distraction thing. I don't think it would be a distraction. Like, he does something that you don't consider worthy of a guy that's on your football team. Okay, see ya. Like, Jimmy Ward is a distraction. Like, is Jimmy Ward going to be an issue at training camp? No, he's not. He's going to be cut, more than likely, and it's going to be bygone. Like, he's gone. He's out of memory. He's like, you know, he's see ya later. You never have to worry about him again. If Arnett does anything that he has done, like, in his life, mm-hmm. that have led to, you know, jail or whatever, or assault charges, gun charges, all of these things, the moment one of those things happen, he's gone and everybody forgets about him in 2 weeks.
Yeah, I just look at the fact that I understand what you're saying, but I also think that there are situations that come up where it's not gone in 2 weeks. You know, you never want to see a situation where someone loses their life or you go through something like that. It probably still eventually goes by the wayside for a lot of people, but it's just not something that you need. It has to be worth it. So I think from a talent perspective, he's shown that there's enough talent there that they obviously feel it's worth it to take this risk and to bring him in. I also know that because the guns and the assaults and the drugs type stuff are all concerns, but he also says that, you know, he's had to take the mandatory classes and whatever to go through whatever. He's a changed person. So be it. I just, that's the kind of stuff I would rather avoid. Yes, I still think from a cultural standpoint, they can get over it. They can get through it. The veterans will help them do it. But I just hope he's got enough talent. As a football player, it's worth it.
Yeah, but the moment that he shows you that he's not worth it, you get rid of him.
Yeah, I think the bonus is there's, you're not even in training camp yet.
I mean, what the risk that you're putting out there is that he does something illegal that becomes a distraction to the team. I just don't know. I mean, outside of like murdering somebody, I feel like the team would be okay.
Yeah, from a football standpoint, probably the team will be okay. I just don't think that you want to deal with, from a question, you know, everybody questioning you, the bad look it provides on the entire organization, the questioning of why'd you bring him in the first place type stuff, when all the things have been pointing positively towards Nick and D'Amico and the way they've built this entire roster and this culture. But I get it. I guess the biggest positive in all this is, you can definitely get a lot of this sorted out to see what kind of guy he is as well as what kind of player he is while you go to training camp. And he could be a guy that doesn't even make your final roster going into week one. I just have concerns.
Yeah, I understand their concerns, and I respect the concerns. I guess our disagreement, and probably our impasse, is I don't think it's that significant on what it means for the overall team with any level of distraction. Like, Deontay Johnson didn't have the off-the-field stuff, but Deontay Johnson didn't fit into the culture. And what did they do with Deontay Johnson? They said, see you later, goodbye, before he could be any sort of problem. It would be the same thing here. If Arnett shows any indication that he is not worth his value in the field, he's gone. He's cut. No big deal. Wash your hands of it. It's absolutely a flyer. But I do think he's your backup boundary corner as of right now.
He's basically today. Your replacement for Darby, right?
I would think so.
Yeah. And so I get it from that standpoint. He was drafted in the first round for a reason. So you understand from a talent, it's never been about talent. It's about everything else. Yes, I believe. I mean, I understand. I've always been a kick the tires and bring a guy in kind of guy. This one just, I'm a little leery of it because of how recent everything has been. You're right. It's not a major deal where financially you're going to take a hit if you just cut him. I just don't want it to be a bigger situation. We've seen some of them. We've seen Henry Ruggs. We've seen things where people lose lives, and it's a deal that ends up going on for a while, and there's attention drawn to it. Players are asked about it. It becomes a distraction.
Your fear is he's going to drive too fast and kill somebody.
I knew you were going to turn it to that level.
Well,
I didn't
take it to
right,
that level.
I did by saying that, but I tried to say it in a generic way first.
But
which
you
is
took it there.
That it could be great. Okay, great, Jeremy. I took it there.
You did.
I took it there to say that as long as it's what he's been arrested for in the past, then it's something that, yeah, you can easily sweep under the rug or just move on from. But you would hate to think that someone loses a life, as I mentioned, or that other things happen to where it doesn't become something that's as easy to sweep under the rug, and it becomes a distraction for the entire team.
The most recent, and look, some of these things are heinous. Like, there's no arguing that. January 24, which I think is the most recent, at least according to DJ's article here, he was arrested and charged with possession of less than a gram of meth and unlawful carrying of a firearm in Richardson, Texas, here nearby. The most recent one prior to that was March 2023, in which a Colorado – this was recent. This was actually a judge ruling on the 10th, so like last week, a week ago. A Colorado federal judge ordered Arnett to pay more than $78,000 to a dancer who said he assaulted her at a March 23 house party. Arnett was accused of striking the woman and smashing her head into the ground. So, like, these allegations are heinous.
It feels like we're repeating the Roberto Osuna mistake a little bit, right? To a degree. I mean, not only from the type of allegations that are kind of similar, but also from the fact that I didn't think that year's Astros team needed Roberto Osuna. Like, I thought that team was fine. I thought it was unnecessary to take on whatever level of distraction he brought because he didn't really need him. And I kind of would say the same with Arnett. Like, I don't think they need him. I know maybe there's a depth concern at corner, but I don't look at the secondary as a concern right now.
January 2022, he had a case dropped for a looked like a concealed handgun.
I'm caught up on the meth thing.
May 23, a grand jury indicted Arnett on assault with a deadly weapon and firearm-related charges related to the incident. Arnett agreed to a plea deal. July 2022, Arnett was arrested in Miami on charges of possession of a controlled substance, possession of drug paraphernalia, and driving with a suspended license.
If he's getting popped for meth in January...
It was less than a gram!
You really believe he's quit meth in the last 5 months?
Well, it wasn't in the last 5 months.
January to now?
No, that was January of 24.
Oh, okay. Okay,
January
gotcha.
24, Arnett was arrested and charged with possession of less than a gram of meth. Now, Aaron Wilson had like a big... Let's talk about this on the other side. 713, we're up against it. 713-780-ESPN. Are you cool with the Texans going anti-Bob McNair in signing Damon Arnett to a one-year contract that has a lot of questionable things that have happened in his past? That's something you cannot argue. 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.
Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or jeffweilercolumbusautomall.com.